Welcome to the Davey Tree Expert Company's podcast, Talking Trees. I'm your host, Doug Oster. Each week, our expert arborists share advice on seasonal tree care, how to make your trees thrive, arborists' favorite trees, and much, much more. Tune in every Thursday to learn more, because here at the Talking Trees podcast, we know trees are the answer. This week, I'm joined again by Chelsea Abbott. She's a technical advisor for the Davey Institute based in Chicago. And today we're talking all about ecotherapy and nature's healing properties. Chelsea, welcome back to the show. Over the years, we've talked about lots of cool stuff, including one of your favorite things, fungi. But I think ecotherapy is another one of your favorites, right?
I have so many favorite things. But yes, thank you. Thank you for having me back yet again.
So just tell me what ecotherapy is and how you're connected to ecotherapy.
So ecotherapy, also known as, say, forest therapy or forest bathing, is essentially using nature to access mental health and even sometimes physical health benefits, but not in the form of like exercise or even meditation. It's sort of in this, I would say, right in between land where you're not necessarily standing still, but you're not also, you know, going for a very long walk. It's really just being in nature and not expecting anything from it other than just being. And my connection to it, you know, I am a certified forest bathing or forest therapy guide. I actually got that certification last year. So I can certainly talk more about forest bathing, the process of it, the benefits. You just ask me whatever you need.
Well, let's just go there. Like, you know, I mean, I've touched on forest bathing before, but you tell me as an ecotherapist, what you do at a forest bathing class or get together.
Sure. Okay. So first off, just to be clear, I want to make sure I'm not an ecotherapist. I'm an ecotherapy guide because one of the main tenets, and the reason why, and this you'll like this, one of the main tenets that we learn when going through the certification process is that we are not the therapist. The forest and the nature is the therapist. We are simply the guide to bring people into that space to sort of let nature do the therapy for us. So it's very this, it's sort of a little bit, you have to open up to it, but our training is sort of trying to get people comfortable enough to allow those experiences to happen. So with that, it's just a little tiny thing, but it helps to understand that the forest and the nature is supposed to be the therapist. So in this sense, you know, what say a forest therapy guide or forest bathing guide or ecotherapy guide would be doing is sort of leading people into nature and giving them what's called several invitations. And the language is pretty important because theoretically you could do whatever you want out in nature, but we'll give an invitation, for example, something like go explore the textures of the space. And you would, you know, walk out into the space and just touch as many things, nothing poisonous, please, as many things and just experience the different textures. And then, oh, maybe you had a thought or, oh, maybe I want to go do something else. And you sort of follow it and you almost get into this space headspace sometimes where you don't even realize that time is passing because you're really just experiencing it. But it does take a little bit sometimes. Some people can get into that headspace quicker. But we're really just meant to sort of open that door and make the space so you feel free that you can do things like that.
Well, I like that first step with the texture.
Mm-hmm.
When you,
it's one of my favorite invitations.
Yeah, you know, because it's something that I guess we know, you know, we normally wouldn't do, you know, feel the bark or the mushroom or whatever it might be, not the poison ivy, but anything else. So when you're doing this, how much time does it depend on the people? Does it depend on the space? How much time are you spending in the forest?
Yeah. And, you know, I would say space is less important than time. I've led people in fully forested areas. I've led people closer to parking lots. Obviously, the more deep into the forest you can get, the better, just because of soundscape mostly. But theoretically, you could do this anywhere as long as there's some green space. But generally time, we like to have at least an hour, but we could go up to 3 hours. It really honestly depends upon each guide, but also the group. Some people are like, I can't give you 3 hours on a Saturday. That's ridiculous. So we kind of do a condensed version. But yeah, there's actually some studies out there that would show, the longer you spend out in nature, obviously the more benefits you're going to have. So ideally, I think the best time that we've seen is about 2 hours spent in nature.
But I bet you have people that would love the 2 hour, 3 hour version.
Oh yeah. I mean, so again, like I said, time sort of like melts away. If you really feel yourself getting into that right sort of headspace, you don't even realize that time is going. And there'll be sometimes when I'm guiding and I'll sort of see that people are really into it. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna give them like 15 more minutes. And then when I call them back, they're just like, how long was that? Because they were just out there, frolicking. It's amazing.
What kind of other therapy can the forest give us?
Oh, goodness. So it's so personal to really each people's like individual experience. So I know that there's some people, and I want to be clear, forest bathing or forest therapy, it's not for everyone the same as any type of therapy. Some people, like to use it just to sort of be outside and breathe some fresh air for a little while. Some people have very moving, very deep spiritual experiences. So I would think any level that you can get as deep as is needed in that moment. But I've had some people have some pretty significant like breakthroughs regarding mostly trauma, but it's going to be again very individualized.
Well, the day after this podcast drops is Garden Meditation Day. Tell me a little bit about that. That's got to be part of forest bathing. It just sounds so wonderful to me.
Yes.
I live in a forest, but I don't do as much forest bathing and as I should. I'm walking through the trails. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm picking daffodils. I just like the idea of this, meditation. So tell me a little bit about that meditation part of this.
And that's why I sort of mentioned that it doesn't necessarily need to be in a forest to be considered forest bathing. It's really just interacting with nature in any sort of way that usually you don't want to have sort of a goal like, oh, I need to hike 2 kilometers. Or sometimes, when you're gardening, it can be a bit more stressful if you're like crying over why plants are being eaten by slugs or something like that. But any interaction that we can have with nature is going to obviously bring us closer to it and allow us to sort of work into our brains where we're in a bit of a different headspace than, say, we would be at work. So certainly garden meditation or being in your garden can be a form of forest bathing. You're maybe not getting invitations by an active forest therapy guide, but you're certainly, your hands are in the dirt. There's plenty of not only mental health, but physical benefits that can come with interacting with the bacteria and microbes that actually are naturally occurring in the dirt. And also, the trees are letting off these gases that, as we interact with them as well, it has a lot of physical health benefits.
Why is this right for you to be a guide?
Why is this right?
Yeah, why is this right for you?
Oh, so this is funny enough. This is actually something that I learned about while speaking at a conference in Finland. And so they were actually doing a study where they tested the cortisol levels of people before and after spending time in nature to actually show that it dropped. And they were trying to build a prescriptive approach, meaning, oh, do you need to do 15 minutes every 2 days or 2 hours, once a week? And it sort of just opened my mind up to this whole thing. And then once I started to look at my own career, I'm a plant pathologist. I mostly do diagnostics and teach people, but also do a lot of, I would say, field diagnostics. So a lot of my now experience with nature is kind of diagnosing dying trees. And one of the things I noticed was I started to get almost a little bit like they were an object, not a living thing. And I became detached from nature. And myself and many other people that I work with and teach kind of got into this line of work because we love nature. And when it starts to get detached, you lose that feeling of connectedness and, benefit of it. So it was something that was important and I would say right for me because I wanted to sort of reconnect, learn how to reconnect, but I also wanted to try to teach people in my industry, maybe let's Let's get back to the reason we got into this industry. Instead of seeing that as yet another tree that we need to take down, or yet another oak that declined for whatever reason, they're living beings, part of an ecosystem, and they're also special to people.
And so, what was the training like?
It was about six. So there might be different ways to do this. The way that I went through it is through ANFT, which is American Nature Forest Therapy, I believe, and that's an accredited. Sort of accreditation. But it was 6 months online training, and like every Saturday, which 3 hours, 4 hours every Saturday. And then at the end, you do a 4 day immersion, sort of where you go on walks led by established forest therapy guides, as well as sort of talk about your own experience guiding, some maybe workshopping some different types of invitations, learning maybe what works and what doesn't work, what to do when this happens or this happens. And actually, it was a wonderful experience. Like I said, through the training, I not only learned how to make the space for other people to connect, but I learned a lot just about my own relationship with nature. So it was sort of like a self-finding process while also helping other people find it. It was very rewarding.
Talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by that, by finding a little bit of your own connection with nature?
Yeah, I think it was like I kind of rediscovered a little bit. When I was a kid, I used to just go out into the woods and just sort of just to continue to use this term, just sort of frolic. And you don't really like recognize when you stop doing that. You kind of just stop it. And most of my interactions with nature as an adult have been either through like hiking, so exercise, right? I have a goal in mind. I need to get this amount, or I want to find this view or something like that, or through work, which ended up making me a little bit hardened towards nature. And so when I was going through this, because every weekend, or some weekends, they would make you go out and do these virtual walks. So they would lead you through it, and then we would have debriefs afterwards. And so to just have to sit and for 2 hours while someone talks in your ear and gives you invitations and you put yourself through it, it was like, oh, well, yes, this is a different way to interact with nature, where you're just sort of slowly, you're not really expecting anything. So it was kind of like we were becoming forest therapy guides while also being the people led into forest therapy. It was like having two roles. It was very cool.
Well, it's funny because when my wife and I walk in the woods, I'm always the one lingering and
Yes.
looking down at the little things, and she kind of has a goal, like you were saying,
Yeah.
like, here we're gonna get from here to there. No, but I'm just like, oh, look at those, what's up there? What's
Exactly.
down here? Can you give
One
us
of
a
the
few other tips on slowing down a little bit and getting some therapy from the forest?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the best ways that I've learned to describe how to, I would say, forest bathe, or what it's like to forest bathe, is, have you ever watched a cat go for a walk outside? And you know how they're, dogs are very much like, I'll walk with you, right? Whereas cats are like, stop, start. Oh, I'm gonna go over here. Maybe I'll lay down for a little bit. Oh, I'll climb this tree just randomly. So I think cats are excellent forest bathers. So sometimes when I'm out in the forest and I find myself becoming more dog, right? Where I'm like, yes, I'm walking and I'm going. I'm like, okay, wait. Let's be a cat here. And let's just like, oh, that's a fun color over there. Or, oh, there's a bug. Let's chase that for a while. And you sort of just like get into the headspace of like, let's just be random. Don't let people know your next move, kind of thing. So I would say if you ever want to think about, well, who's the best forest bather, cats. Cats are excellent.
So tell me a little bit about how your love of fungi relates, is it, because I know it has to relate
Course it
to
does.
guiding a nice forest bathing walk.
Sure. So, I mean, one of my favorite, well, there's so many things I love about fungi, of course. But one of the favorite things about fungi is really how they interconnect everything underground, right? They really are the main drivers of a lot of like that my common mycelial network that some people might know as either the tree internet or the wood wide web. But it's really that's fungal network, right? And they're sort of connecting hosts to gain carbon. But they're like these unsung heroes that are just going about their business, and they really tend to it's like a whole ecosystem underneath there, just based fully on fungi and them interacting with not only trees, but also other microbes and insects as well. And so one of the great things about fungi is because they're so pervasive, they're just excellent at just connecting one to the other, and they do it in the most efficient way possible. And so one of the things I like to tell people as well is, when you're thinking about grounding yourself or thinking about how do I look to other beings, I like to think about, how would you imagine you tromping through the forest would look to a fungi? Like, would they be able to sense your footsteps? What would that seem like? One of the fun things, and it gets a little edgy for some people, but the fun things that I like to have people do is imagine what it looks like from the forest to you. What do you think it imagine, like imagine how it would be to be observed by beings that are not human? So it's a little bit of, again, get a little bit weird, but it's fun to sort of think about, because there's intelligence in these different, fungi and trees. It might not be the same as a human intelligence, but certainly when you look at how fungi grow and how efficient they are, there's certainly an intelligence about there. So I like to think about, how does fungi see a human? What would that do to their ecosystem, and how would they react to that?
Well, I hope the fungi look at me as a fun guy.
I know they look at me as a fun gal.
Tell me a little bit about what you hope that the people that you guide get out of time with you in the forest.
So, I try not to bring too many expectations when I'm guiding people. Most of what I hope for people when I'm out there with them is that they, at some point, find themselves feeling a little bit calmer. I've had a lot of really good conversations afterwards, but it's one of the things that's important about forest bathing or forest therapy is there's no right way to do it. There's no like, oh, I've achieved this, therefore, because then you're back to thinking, okay, I need to get to this goal. So most of the times when I'm guiding people, what I hope for is I just hope that, they sort of have whatever experience is best for them for that hour or 2 hours that we're in together. And if that means talking to someone the whole time, or if that means go sitting alone underneath a tree or like sticking your hands in a river, so be it. It's kind of choose your own adventure.
And tell me what you get out of doing it about guiding people.
Oh man, I get I had this one solo walk that I did by myself where you give yourself, you kind of guide yourself. It's really cool where you flip back and forth between being a guide and being the sort of the led. And I had this really interesting moment where I was walking and I was listening to the birds, and it was, I don't know if you've ever read What the Robin Knows. It's a book that talks about bird language. And I felt like the birds were trying to tell me something as I continued to slowly walk. And I was just like, what are you guys talking about? And then I sort of turned a corner, and there was just like this big, like bull elk that was just sort of like laying down in the middle of a sunspot. And I was like, okie dokie. And I just sort of turned around and walked the other way. I was like, thanks, guys. So I had sort of this cool moment where it was sort of like the birds were sort of being like, hey, you're maybe getting close to something you don't want to be around. And sort of being able to put those two together before I maybe got into a situation where the bull saw me, I was like, all right. It made me feel very much like what we're supposed to be, which is really part of nature, rather than a lot of people thinking we're distinctly different in a different circle from nature. We're supposed to be nature. That's what humans are.
Well, Chelsea, that's great stuff. I love your enthusiasm. And I knew if I moved to fungi that you would really, really get thrilled because we've talked about it so many other times.
Course.
Always great to talk to you. And I look forward to the next time that we can explore a topic together. And I need to spend a little time forest bathing.
As long as you're outside and you're spending some time in the sun with some green things, I think you're doing a good job.
All right. Thanks, Chelsea.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I just love talking with Chelsea. I'm sure you can hear that happiness in her voice. She's certainly inspired me to spend some quiet time in nature, and I hope she's encouraged you to do the same. Now, tune in every Thursday to the Talking Trees podcast from the Davy Tree Expert Company. I am your host, Doug Oster, and do me a favor, subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Have an idea for a show or maybe a comment? Send us an email at podcasts@davey.com. That's podcasts@davey.com. And as always, we'd like to remind you on the Talking Trees podcast, trees are the answer.